This morning, for this day of Pentecost, I'm proclaiming God's word from the Romans reading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your Spirit, so that even our suffering may be transformed as we share in the glory of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. 10 days ago in this congregation, we celebrated the festival of Ascension, of Christ as a human being and as true God, ascending to reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We celebrated what this means for our humanity, that we have a great and living hope. We don't cease to become human beings in the resurrection, that our humanity is fulfilled in Christ. If you weren't here that night, you didn't get to hear Pastor Joshua's sermon for the Ascension. I recommend it to you. Get a hold of a copy, read through it, especially if you have not thought much about the Ascension. One of the things that Pastor Joshua drew our attention to in that sermon was a central stained glass panel here in our church. And again today, I draw your attention to it. Here we have depicted the ascension of Christ in glory. But this depiction is scriptural in its detail. If you look closely, maybe you can't see from where you are sitting now, but you will see as you come forward to communion. Have a look at Christ's hands and feet and notice what you see there. You will see the scars of his crucifixion. These have not gone away in his ascension. They are gloriously transformed. Suffering is part of his story. It is also part of his glory. Pay attention to where our Lord goes, how he leads us, because this is also our path and great hope for us today as we celebrate the Pentecost, the gift of the Spirit to us. Now I'm drawing attention to this today because we have these words in the reading which could strike us as rather unusual to be assigned for a festival day in the church. The words, if in fact we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with him. There on the day of the Ascension there is the marks of suffering. Here today, as we think about the glorious outpouring of the Spirit on the church, we are also reminded that suffering is part of the Christian life. It's not the point of Christian living, but it's part of the story. It will be part also of our sharing with the glory of Christ. Now, in this sermon today, I'm going to start by thinking about different sorts of suffering. Suffering without hope, and contrasting this to suffering with hope, and how different these things are. And then I want to talk about the fact that suffering, although it is part of the life of our Christian community, is not the point. It's transformed by the gift of the Spirit and the path that we are on. But first of all, let's think about suffering and what suffering without hope looks like. To get a picture of this, think about somebody who's working in what they consider to be a dead-end job. A job in which they see no hope of promotion, no future. They're only doing it because they desperately need the money. When they get there, they work for a boss who's a tyrant. Their co-workers are in a nasty spirit of competition with them. They have no hope in their workplace. And this means that their work is also hopeless. They'll try, of course, to work the minimum number of hours. If they make mistakes, they'll try and fob those mistakes off onto others, push the blame elsewhere. They will not take opportunities to learn more, to gain more experience. They will want out and only stay there because they have to stay there. This is a fleshly or servile mindset. And if you want to see a popular culture version of this, I don't suppose many of you here watch the show The Simpsons, but Patty and Selma, the sisters who work there in the Department of Motor Vehicles, have this attitude. Their job's not going anywhere. They serve customers badly. There's always a big lineup. But we know about this mindset, right? And the hopelessness it causes. What happens in the workplace can also happen in life. And in fact, this sort of attitude is what St. Paul would call the mindset of the flesh. Living as if we're going nowhere, as if there's no hope, as if the grave marks the end and that's it. As if life is just one big competition. Do the minimum, push blame elsewhere, don't take opportunities to grow, avoid suffering at all cost. Now contrast this with a different sort of suffering. Not someone who's going into a dead-end job, but someone who works at a company that they themselves will inherit. Their boss is not a tyrant. Their boss is their dad. Will their attitude to work be different, do you think? I'd say so. They wouldn't do the minimum. If it's going to be their company one day, they'll run it. You can imagine a person like that getting to work early, working longer hours, making mistakes, sure, but wanting to learn from them. Not pushing the blame elsewhere, but going to Dad, I made a mistake. Have you been through this? What did you do? Wanting to help the workers grow in their knowledge, enjoying the workplace, knowing that there's a future in it, that as the company grows, if you like, they'll share in its glory. Now, is there suffering involved in this path? Well, there is. Early mornings, hard work. Running a company can be very stressful too. Think of all the financial responsibility. It's real suffering, but what a different sort of suffering. It's transformed by the glory of growth, of new business, of the hope that this involves. Suffering is part of the story that leads to the glory of growth. Now we can think about life in this way too. We can take an attitude to life that there is hope, and this can transform even present day suffering. I talked about The Simpsons as giving us an image of popular culture image of servile mentality. This different sort of suffering, suffering of hope, we get an image of this in a wonderful book called The Aeneid. It's a classic of Latin literature. It's a story of an exile. Aeneas has his home city of Troy demolished. He flees with his compatriots in a boat across the seas. But even when on the sea, they can't escape danger. There's a huge storm and they are thrown up on a coastline. They don't know whether it's hostile or friendly. This is the lowest ebb. But listen to these words. Aeneas speaks to his fellow sailors, his fellow Trojans. Take heart once again and dispel your fears and depression. Maybe the day will come when even this will be a joy to remember. Even this suffering, because our glory lies ahead of us. Or think of another example of this sort of thing. Someone who plays for a sporting team where they have a hope of getting the cup or the pennant. They'll get up early in the morning, perhaps it's raining and it's cold. Perhaps they'd rather sleep in, but they get up because they know when they go to training, which they might end up enjoying as it happens, there could be the hope of victory in the future. And picture a sporting team as they're singing their song of victory and holding their cup. What would they think of their past sufferings? They think they would not be worth comparing to the glory that they experience in victory. The suffering would have been real, transformed by glory. There are different sorts of suffering. There's suffering without hope. There's suffering with hope. And suffering with hope is transformed by its goal. Now, as Christian people, we do not suffer without hope. We do suffer, but with hope in Christ, because it's in Him that our status is assured. It's through Him that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's by walking by the power of the Spirit that even our sufferings, which are real, are transformed. Listen to what St. Paul writes today. Listen to God's word. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. God is not a tyrant. We do not need to live the spiritual life as if, well, what's the bare minimum? I'll do that to avoid the punishment of God. There's no real future here for me. Maybe the best I can do is avoid the wrath of God. The Spirit leads us in a different way. The message of the Spirit, the message of Christ, is no condemnation to you. No condemnation to you in Christ Jesus. Instead, through Him, the gift of peace to you and the gifts of the Spirit to you. God is not a tyrant to boss you around. God is your heavenly Father. Now, this is a message we can't trust by our own strength. God needs to send people into our lives to tell us this Spirit-filled message, to speak these words to us. In fact, part of the reason that I am here is because God has sent me through your call to me to proclaim God's word to you. This message we need to hear, to be reminded of. We can't by our own reason or strength believe it. The Holy Spirit must give us the gift of faith through the proclamation of the gospel. Today, this is what I proclaim to you. God is your Father. In Christ Jesus, you have access to Him. You have an inheritance prepared for you by God. This is God's word to you. Not the word of Fraser Pierce, not the word of Joshua Pfeiffer, the word of God. The image we have here is the image of adoption into a family. God, through holy baptism, adopts us as His children, so that we belong to Him, so that we have membership in the household with all God's people, so that we can approach God as dearly loved children. And this is what God's word goes on to say. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's our Lord Jesus who encourages us to pray, Father. And as we pray these words, and as we call out to God as Father, that's the Spirit's work in our lives and in the life of our congregation. We are not orphans or slaves, but dearly loved children of the Most High God. This is the message that God proclaims to you. This is the trust that your Father wants to win from you. So you come to Him admitting mistakes. Father, I made some mistakes. How do I learn from this? How do I get through this? I've got a debt I can't pay here. Dad, I'm going to have to ask you to pay it for me. Dad, you've put me into a big family. How do I love my brothers and sisters, the ones that you've given me? This is the sort of attitude that we can take through the Spirit to our God, approaching God in a spirit of simple, childlike trust. Not as slaves, but as children. as people who have an inheritance. Now, it's in this context that St. Paul gives us these words, God's word to us. If, in fact, we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with him. The point is not the suffering, but it's true that the story includes suffering. Our story, the story of going to live with God, of sharing in the glory of Christ Jesus, does involve suffering. It involved it for our Lord Jesus Christ. But remember that the marks of his suffering transformed in glory, part of the victory. And this can be the case with very simple things in life as Christian people. And I'll use one simple example of what this looks like for us today. Is coming to church on Sunday morning always easy? I'll bet sometimes the alarm goes off and you'd rather sleep in. Sunday morning's a good time to sleep in, right? Or maybe go out for brunch or take it easy. Especially if it's cold and raining, getting up early to go to church doesn't seem like the most appealing thing to do. It's true that when we get here, it can be very encouraging, but getting here, it involves giving things up, giving up our own time. We can think this way, and there's a truth to it, mind you. Just like someone who's going for a sporting cup might have to give up other activities, so we in the church forego other things we could be doing to come to church. You could say there's a sort of suffering here, a sort of letting go, a sort of giving up. It can be especially the case if we have people who are dependent on us in getting to church. Think of a mother with young kids, how hard it can be for her, especially if dad's not there at church. But even if they're together coming to church, still not easy. That's part of the story, isn't it? The giving up, the letting go, is part of how God grows us and leads us. When we stand with Christ in glory, will that sort of suffering be anything to worry about? The getting up early, the coming to church through the rain, the difficulty of it? We laugh to think that's a problem as you stand with Christ in glory. To be sure, that's light suffering, but it can help us think about the more serious forms of suffering that we face as Christian people, especially if we face opposition to our own proclamation of the gospel to those whom God brings into our lives, people we have special responsibility for. The suffering is not the point. What will give us strength in these occasions is thinking about where God is leading us, the goal which God gives us in Christ Jesus. The gift of the gospel message which gets us to stand on our own feet as dearly loved children, that frees us to call out to God as Father, that gives us hope as we suffer, to realise that our sufferings are not the point and not the end of the story. They're part of the story that leads to glory, our sharing with the glory of Christ Jesus. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.